Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Merritt Larwood.
Hello, film lovers. This week we're going to be talking about Mr. Turner, and it's an art-based podcast.
We talk about Mr. Turner, a film about Turner, and Tim's Vermeer, a film about Vermeer. So it's going to be incredibly highly cultured, and I think people will learn rather a lot.
Well, I think the subject matter is highly cultured, but I can almost guarantee you that none of my references or anything I have to say will have any semblance of anything remotely approaching culture.
Did you paint at school? Were you any good at it?
I don't know if you had this, because you've got an older brother, haven't you?
I have an older brother, yes.
I am one of three children.
Yes.
All.
Boys.
Yeah, well, now we're men.
All of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am, do you know which one I am?
You are number, are you number three? Two?
Yes, the middle one.
You're
mental
the middle one.
I'm the mentally ill one. Anyway, my brother was exceptionally good at art, and I was really good at art as well.
Your older brother?
Yeah, and I was also the best in my class at art. But my dad said when we got to do our GCSEs, now to do one sort of arty-farty GCSE.
So what did you pick?
Well, I said I want to do art and drama. I went, no, Kieran does art.
I don't want two papers.
Your older brother's already taken that, so you have to do drama.
So what did that leave your third brother? Your second brother, the third of the siblings?
He had to spend his whole youth eating his own excrement.
Which was the third art choice.
On the Isle of Wight.
You can do drama, art or excrement eating. Well, no music on the Isle of Wight,
is there? I think it's not just eating. I think that's sort of doing it down.
Okay.
It's a lot more complicated than that.
I mean, I've never been to the Isle of Wight. I don't understand its indigenous culture.
It's just sort of imbibing it. Anyway, let's not talk about that. That's an Isle of Wight thing. But we're not here to talk about... But my point is that I could have been a famous... I could have
shit
been,
eater, and you're not.
I could have been a famous artist or a shit eater.
Yeah. But instead, you're not famous.
I'm out of work, forgotten. As some bloke stopped me the other day on the train, he went, you're the... that was it. That was... That's
the level you're at.
And he just lost interest and walked off.
Oh, that is a shame.
Anyway.
Well, Mr. Turner, let's begin with that. You saw this film, Marek. Why don't you tell us what it is about?
Well, I've got to talk. I'm going to talk about another subject as well. I went to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the food was terrible.
But you're never too old to start, and that's the great thing about Goblin Turds.
Yeah.
You can pick it up at any age.
Me and my family, we had a lovely meal, and once we'd all finished all the turds in the Isle of Wight, we thought, well, we fancy a sit down now.
Right.
So I took my mum and dad to go to the cinema, because I thought it's a sort of mum and dad's film.
Mm. And it's got Timothy Spall in it.
This was the first time I've actually been, other than when I went to see Irish, which was a film about people who, when she gets a dementia.
Yes.
When it was full of old people crying, which was really traumatic.
Well, because it was like, this is going to happen to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I was the youngest person in the cinema. It's incredible.
Wow.
So, for those who don't know, Mr. Turner is played by the brilliant as ever Timothy Spall, directed by Mike Lee. It's a biopic. I never know how to say these things.
Yeah, biopic.
Of Turner's life, who's famous for his sort of seascape, you know, ship sort of huge stormy sort of huge,
very evocative, aren't
yes,
they?
Evocative,
stormy
seascapes,
very good with light.
And it was his, and it was just his life in, and I think he lived up to around 1850, not sure. Just a story of his life, really. It's what's great about it, and seeing it on a big screen, and what Mike Lee's done brilliantly. Like the opening shot is almost like a moving Turner painting, and some of the it's shot beautifully, and some of the shots you think it actually looks like frames could be taken as pieces of his artwork, which is really really
that's
nice.
That's nice.
Timothy Spall is sublime. He's just a wonderful face you can look at, and he got so many tricks and looks. He makes you laugh. And Turner's, I didn't really know much about Turner. He's quite a visceral sort of figure, quite, you know, not he's not the sort of elite posh painter. He's just a grumbling bloke who takes his...
A bit just bloody minded.
He's almost like a plumber version of a painter, and he just grunts. That's a lot of Timothy Spall's acting, which gets to the point where towards the end of the film he's just doing...
Are you sure that wasn't your family having a snack during the
film? My mum said there's too much grunting. I don't know what that was a reference to.
Whether what you're watching,
whether it was a film, whether it was my, is you know what in her life, I don't know what it was.
Okay.
But the acting's great. It's got great British actors in it.
Did Turner have a dramatic, exciting life? Well, dramatising.
Here's the problem. I think when you try and dramatise someone's entire life, which Mike Lee's done here, you run the risk of having quite dull moments, and you're constrained to history. I'd be far more interested if you just picked one subject and really delved into that, rather than just sort of following along. And it's 2.5 hours long, which again, as we spoke about last week, it's just too long for a film, especially for old people. I mean, my blood is bad enough. Those people in that cinema must have been awful.
Not all of them will have survived the night.
It's a
departure for Mike Lee, or certainly not a typical subject for Mike Lee. He did Topsy Turvy before, which I don't know if you've seen.
Awful.
Really, I really liked it.
I really liked his early stuff. I mean, Naked was one of my favourite ever films.
When he does the sort of almost Italian neorealism-esque mundane working class Britain stuff. I mean, Secrets and Lies is excellent. I really like All or Nothing. Naked I've still not seen, and I feel ashamed because it's the one everyone says is his best.
David Thewlis.
Life
brilliant.
Is Good, I think it's called, is an early one with Timothy Spall, who's fantastic
as
a character called Aubrey. And Timothy Spall's always been brilliant. I mean, he's clearly... They get on, don't they?
That's he's only... Really, there's his wife later on the film, but he's one of the few strong characters. He has got a lot on his shoulders to take on, you know, to drag this film through that 2.5 hour mark. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't blown away by it. But someone has put it, if you think, shut up, you bald, inarticulate twat.
This is for me.
I want to hear someone talk about this semi-coherently. Well, you're in luck, because Ali Candlin has written in a very good email about... who she's an art student about what she thought of Mr. Turner. And David, I believe you're going to approach the lectern now and read this
yes in my Ali Candlin voice.
Has she said sorry, what am I standing on?
I just worry about that
you're worried
cable.
About some cables. I'm from California originally, but now live in Scotland. Okay, everyone's giving us combos these days.
A lot of Scottish people.
Very demanding, our listeners these days. Scotland via California.
Very good, go for it.
So, for context, I saw Mr. Turner on a small screen with only members of my university's art history society in the audience.
I think we all found it fun seeing some of our lecturers' favourite anecdotes about Turner coming to life, especially the scene of him one-upping a fusty constable at Hanging D in the National Gallery. Likewise, the scene with Ruskin pompously holding forth on seascapes was hilarious and perfect, especially after being forced to read numerous essays by the man. Not sure how this kind of stuff plays to an audience who is maybe not quite so familiar with or invested in the context of the film. I'd love to hear. Or perhaps you're experts on 19th century art. What do I know? No, we're really not. My immediate reaction to the film was a kind of baffled love. It was first of all hilariously funny. Timothy Spall's expressions, the conversations via only grunting. Your screen's gone off again. There we go. The abrupt and unexplained scene/tonal changes. All of these reduced the cinema to tears of laughter at points. We did get a couple of sanctimonious shush during the scene with the photographer when everyone was in hysterics over Mrs. Booth's horrified expression. No doubt it was a keen student annoyed at missing a treatise by Turner on the relationship between photography and painting, color and light, or some such. I also just found watching Turner toddling around and grunting endlessly compelling, and especially enjoyed the conversations or interactions between him and various members of the society. The one big letdown for me was the ending. I was fascinated by the construction via almost plotless vignettes and character sketches, so felt slightly disappointed when it lapsed into conventional resolving ending. I also got a bit annoyed during some of the scenes of landscape, which were really obviously digitally altered to resemble Turner paintings. Okay, mostly the fighting Temerary scene. It was completely ridiculous. The overly fake colors just hit a wrong note next to the bodily grunting reality of the rest of the thing. That said, the contrast between some of the beautiful natural landscape shots and Turner's overly physical self and method of painting worked well for me. I just wish it had occasionally been played subtler. Anyway, if either of you have seen it, I'm very curious to hear what you thought, and it's not like any other film I've ever seen, though I'm not overly familiar with Mike Lee, so perhaps that's why. But please, do keep watching and talking about films. Keep walking to lectures through the dreary Scottish weather, less depressing. Allison.
You made her sound like she's some sort of weird...
Hey, she said Californian Scottish, and that's what I delivered.
I think that's a good synopsis of it. I give it 7 Marics, wait, it comes out on 4K definition television.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we've all got 4K, right? You've got a 4K telly now, yeah.
I might, as you can see by my television, it's recorded in my house. When I moved into this flat 6 months ago,
yeah,
we just had some heavy stuff. I hired removal men for 2 hours to lift them with the heavy stuff, and they went, "No one around here's got one of these. Everyone's got flat screens." I haven't lifted up one of these bulky TVs for literally.
They weigh a ton as well. Horrific. I used to have one as well in my flat at uni. Yes, a cathode ray television. Well, Mr. Turner sounds intriguing enough.
Yeah.
I'll check it out sometime. I'm slightly, for all that I haven't watched Naked, I'm slightly completionist with Mike Lee stuff. It's not perfect, but I do find it interesting. So I will watch it at some point.
My thing, while I was down on the Isle of Wight, when I wasn't eating fecal matter,
yeah,
I watched a few films with my mum. And it's quite interesting seeing how that changes your, who you watch it with changes your perspective about the film. My example being, my mum said, why don't we watch a film? And I was trying to show her how to get iPlayer on her TV, her new...
Internet-ready telly.
Yeah, her now TV box.
Right.
And I went, Drive's on. Drive's a brilliant film. So I watched Drive with my mum.
Oh.
Which is not really the film you watch with a...
No, I mean, 60s.
It's not exactly explicit, apart from some hammering and things.
It's really violent.
It's quite sexy, Marek.
But it made me enjoy it less.
Maybe seedy is more the word. It's quite a seedy film.
But then we watched The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
That's more a mum's film.
And we both enjoyed it.
Have you planned a trip to India now?
Oh, it was so great. They don't make actors like the old one. You've got Maggie Smith in there.
Yeah, Judy Dench is in it.
You've got Tom Wilkinson.
He's in
there.
Oh, Tom Wilkinson. He's lovely.
You've got the one who was in Lady Who Was Naked, Ever Decreasing Circles in there.
Oh, I love the lady from Ever Decreasing Circles.
You've got, what's his name, who plays the old man in the Thin Really. Bill Nighy.
Bill Nighy.
You've got Dev Patel, who was, I didn't think could act, the guy from Slumdog Millionaire.
Find he's the guy from The Last Airbender to
me. Yeah, he is the Airbender. They're all in there, and they're all doing a bloody good job on them, with a good few lines. We had a good old laugh about it.
So that went down better, did it? Not a great double bill, that. Not a classic double bill, anyway.
It was separate nights. Drive.
Drive and then...
Mum, we're going to watch Drive, and now we're going to watch... I'm going to normalise you again.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a new... Before you go to bed, you need to... You know, you have a glass of milk, which is the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Okay, and what's Drive? The terrible, harrowing evening
drive
before.
Kicking the balls.
Kicking the balls, glass of milk, bed.
Yeah.
I saw a film this
Come
week.
Off it.
Yes, no, I did. Carrying on our art theme, which was suggested to us by one of our listeners a few weeks ago now, actually. I forget who it was because the email was back in the midst of time.
Lost in time.
But it's a film called Tim's Vermeer. And it stuck in my brain because someone else had recommended it to me as well. So I finally tracked it down. This is a film about a man called Tim Jennison, I believe, who is actually a video camera and computer software engineer and inventor.
Sounds like a dick.
He invented Lightwave. The 3D modelling software they use in loads of movies and stuff now.
I thought it was miniature Michel Jarre's old music.
So. No, sadly not. You know that noise? He invented that noise.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well done, Tim. Sorry, well, I didn't mean that stuff. I said.
Yeah, I mean, every time you've used that noise or enjoyed it, that's because of Tim. Vermeer, it's about Tim's attempt to follow through on some theories that some artists have had, notably David Hockney, about how perhaps artists of that period, Vermeer specifically, used optics as part of the process of painting. So rather than just setting up an easel, looking at a thing and then interpreting it in paint, they would actually have something a bit more complicated, involving potentially lenses or a camera obscura in order to project onto something to then do something else with. And the reason these theories exist is because compared to what had come before, these paintings seem incredibly photorealistic. They look like, you know, frames from films made of paint. And that's very odd for a human brain to have interpreted in quite such a literal way. And so Tim, because he's an inventor, he's not a painter, he's never painted before. Because he's a tinkerer and an engineer, he tries to replicate a system that could have created a Vermeer like this. And
what are the famous Vermeer? Is it the girl with pearl earrings?
Girl with the pearl earrings is the most famous one, yeah. So it's that very smooth, realistic, you know, the light pops, really pops in those paintings.
She had lovely skin. That's
lovely skin.
She led to the invention of Clearasil.
Is that right?
Yes.
And of course, the career of Scarlett Johansson, those were the two things out of that. This film is written and produced by Penn and Teller.
What?
Yep. Penn Jillette actually narrates it as well. And once you get into it, you start to understand why. because the very idea of this huge endeavour by a single man just to create one painting, you can see would appeal to the magician's mind. You know, that whole idea of just no one will believe this amount of work went into it. But basically what Tim finds out is that by a series of mirrors, he can actually have the subject he's looking at appear in a tiny mirror hovering above his canvas. And by moving it around, can actually copy exactly, almost as if it was pixel for pixel, the exact colour he's looking at. So when they merge, that's when he knows it's right.
And it's like a photocopier.
Exactly, a human photocopier. And the results are utterly convincing that this is what Vermeer...
Oh, really?
Yes. But what really the moral of the thing is that the idea that there are engineers and people who use computers or machines or whatever to create stuff over on one side, and then there's true artists who just look at something and interpret it like a wizard on the other, and that the two can't be combined, is a modern construction. If you think about the number of drawings and things that Leonardo da Vinci, we know, did, that he was both a fantastic painter and interested in machinery. Mm-hmm. They used to be the same people. And it's only a recent thing that we
said. Oh, isn't it? How they do mentally, they are from completely different spheres, art and science. The end of the spectrum.
But in the past, it was far more common that somebody who was fascinated by art and light and shape and everything would also be fascinated in science. This is not a traditional story in terms of Tim goes through a torturous process and he thinks all is lost and all of that. It's not about that. It's a gentler story than that. It's a simpler story of that. But I found it utterly fascinating. The idea that this man could go, I think this might be the case. I am going to build an entire room.
And no one else thought that Vermeer was using this technique before.
Two other people had that they name in this documentary had theorised that perhaps optics were involved and suggested some ways. He set out to prove a potentially exact way you would do it and then did it himself, not being a painter. So he then creates an almost, you know, an incredibly accurate-looking Vermeer without being a painter at all. And it's scary, the levels he goes to, because he's trying to replicate a painting of Vermeer's that is a girl sat at a harpsichord. And the museum where they have Vermeer's room wouldn't let him sit there for the amount of time it would take to make this painting. So he replicates inch for inch, piece of furniture for piece of furniture, the exact room in a warehouse, so he can sit in it and paint that room instead. But all the dimensions exactly and all of it. And it's the whole process takes him about 4 years.
Wow.
And it's just an amazing thing to watch. You just go, no, I'm convinced now. I am convinced. And it's sort of just a tiny little bit of mind blown about the history of art. That's all it is. It's a small story, but it's very enjoyable.
Great. How many David's you give it?
I think I'd give it, you know, I'd give it 8, actually.
8 David's?
Yeah, it's very interesting, very well told, very well done.
As we're all getting in now, I suppose.
Well, I suppose, yeah.
What do people do if they want to write in?
Well, if you'd like to have your letter read out on the podcast, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to one another, then go to Facebook /filmfandango, and you can do it there. Or you can tweet us if you'd like an immediate sort of haphazard reaction to anything you have to say. Then do so at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marek Larwood. And we also do all of this for free. So we rely solely on donations of our listeners to keep going. So if you would like to donate towards our...
£1 million.
£1 million running costs a week. Then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And everyone who has done already, thank you very, very much.
Yes, thanks very much. Well, I suppose this is a shorter podcast, isn't it?
Right. Well, you had nothing to add on Tim's Vermeer. So, I mean, there's not much to say when it's a documentary, you know. It's I found the idea of creating a brand new process and then just going through the absolutely painstaking detail of, you know, because
he sounds like he might be autistic.
Well, Tim, yeah. Well, he invented 3D computer software, so it's quite. I mean, he's a driven man, certainly. Certainly a very driven man. But the idea that Vermeer was just as driven, but was just inventing it as a way of maybe doing this.
I wonder what other things. I mean, I expect it'll come out in the wash, won't it?
Probably. David Hockney's in this, and he seems very funny.
Doing his own art on his own iPad, didn't he?
Did he?
He did an exhibition on his own, just arts he'd drawn with his finger on his iPad.
Right. You can do incredibly detailed stuff on that. An artist friend of mine, you know, in the equivalent of sort of the early days of painting apps and stuff, where you have something that's just a bit like MS Paint, but a bit different, you know, it could create incredible things. I'm like, all I can do is stick men. This is not...
Well, why don't our listeners draw something incredible, like a picture of us, and we can put it on our Facebook page?
You know what? That's not a bad idea. Yes. Why do we give them something to paint? We can have a competition.
A pair.
Pretty simple, isn't it? What's come up in this? What about a painting of Timothy Spall grunting?
That'd be good.
Yeah?
Painting of Timothy Spall doing a painting.
And eating fecal matter.
Well, that's optional.
Optional fecal gobbling. Okay. Well, if you'd like to send us your painting of Timothy Spall, then we'll pick a winner between the two that people send. We'll be back next week with more films.
Keep watching the films.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.